Welcome to the Collision Podcast, where church and culture collide. We hope you enjoy.
What's up, everybody? We are back again with the Collision Podcast, where church and culture collide. I hope y'all are doing well. PB, what's happening?
Man, I am so grateful to be back with you brothers, chatting it up. It's been a crazy season, folks graduating with their Master of Theology degree and folks finishing up their academic school year, but it's so good to get back settling. I miss chatting with you brothers.
Pastor Ivan, what's up?
Yo, fellas. Yeah, I'm excited to be back. It's definitely, we definitely carried on a little bit too long, but hopefully we can get on a bit of a schedule here to get going with some good. I guess I timed out. I'm at the Oscars. Yes. And I got to walk off with my award.
Yeah. Man, that's great, man. But listen, y'all know on this podcast, we get right to it. We get to the good stuff, raw material. And today we have to deal with it. Fake news.
Fake news. Yeah.
We've heard it before, but it has taken wings of its own. It's in mainstream and everybody's using it now. It's defined as false or misleading information presented as real news. It often aims to damage the character of a person and ruin relationships. One source says that fake news can reduce the impact of real news by competing with it. It has no basis in fact, but are presented as being factually accurate.
Wow.
So with fake news, as we deal with church and culture, we can easily see how fake news has created more tension between the two worlds.
Yeah.
The church lives by one standard. The world lives by another standard. And we have some that live between both. And so when I think about these tensions, there are at least three tensions that we could possibly deal with. Now, there's tons more, but these are just the three. One fake news topic is God's not real. The other one, there's no hope in the church. Fake news for sure, right? And just the overall impact that fake news has on social media, families, and individuals. So as we deal with the fake news of God's not being real, how do we respond to this? What are your thoughts? How do we respond when people say, when culture says, you know what, God ain't real. I can't see him. I can't touch him. People are dying. People are suffering. He's not real. How do we deal with this fake news?
That's a good question for Ivan. Jump on in there.
Yeah, for sure. No. Right. You got to jump into the big one, right?
Yeah, we got to knock it out first.
And that's kind of that one. And I think there's so many different ways to look at it. One of my recent ways that I've been seeing it a lot, you know, to me, TikTok is such an awesome place to get. Yeah, it's a place where you can get lost in negative things for sure. But you can get so much bite-sized information. You can kind of see where cultures, where the temperature is on certain things. And one of the big things that I've seen lately, right, is when people talk about this idea of God's not real, they'll always jump to, you know, how can a God allow people to suffer? How can a God allow people to be in pain? How can a God allow for people to be, you know, murdered and raped and stuff like that? And that's such a difficult question. And I heard one guy said something that completely blew my mind. I think it works perfectly. It says that the conversation that we don't want to have is the world is using God's standards to disprove God. In the sense of people that come from this idea of God's not real because of this or because pain, because of all those things, we fail to realize that the only reason we care about people hurting, the only reason we care about people who are in pain was because we've been given that. Well, we didn't make that up on our own. That's something that came from God. So I think the way you know God is the way you can take that particular question is the fact that you ask that question to me proves that you've been given that desire for God from that, if that made any sense. But that's kind of my answer.
Well, that's good. That's good, man. So give me the question again. Make sure I understand the question.
Okay, so how do we deal with it when culture says, or the fake news is, God is not real?
Yeah, yeah. Oftentimes, a lot of people get upset with God because of something man has done to them. So a lot of people have fallen out of the faith, if you want to use that term, fallen out of the faith because of something that happens at a church. And so God gets the blanket brush of hate or being not real based upon what a specific ministry or church did to somebody. And then that sort of gains momentum. That's sort of an observation that I've made. Other thing, you know, God is not real because we have so many, I don't want to call them fake religions, but we have so many faith movements that are coming against Christianity. And essentially, they're trying to undercut the foundation of Christianity by putting in unproven, unsubstantiated data to prove whatever it is they're trying to prove. And there's so many movements that are out there, we literally would get lost. And so I think the way we deal with that is, you know, we got to take them to the word. You know, we have to understand part of what Ivan talked about. Hey, you know, the Lord never promised us that we would be free from the depravity of the world. It's a part of being in the world. Bad stuff is going to happen. And even to believers, and that's the part, you know, these things happen to good and bad. We all experience loss and untimely deaths and all that goes along with that. But the beautiful thing about the God that we believe in that is real is he helps us to interpret those things through his word. And so where I've lost, you know, recently my grandmother and just some real important relationships because of God, I can rest assured that my grandmother, because of her faith, is now in the presence of God. Now that may seem spooky and crazy to some folk, but that's what the realness of God helps me to deal with. So it helps me to translate my life experiences. And even so I don't want to take over, but some of that other stuff, you know, with all of the faith movements that are coming up, they're simply trying to wiggle to be heard. And I think oftentimes you have this desire that people want to be heard. So they will say anything to be heard. And somehow they believe if I say it, that makes it true. And I think that is a root of fake news.
That's so good. And so just to piggyback off what you just said, so we basically not only take them to the word, but we live the word out. Like, man, we have to be demonstrators of who God is. Like we have to show people
that's good, Doc,
through our own lives how he's made a difference in us. And we have to be who God says we are, so people can see us.
Yes.
And you know, ask those questions. What must I do to be saved? Who is this God you're talking about? Who is this God that you're serving? And that opens up that door for evangelism, discipleship, and just taking others deeper into understanding God. God's better.
Yeah.
And God, you know what? It's okay to go ahead.
I said one of the things about that too is I have found in just the way that I have lived life and the way that I go about it is you have to show people what it looks like to be a person who's been transformed and who's been freed from God before you take them to the word. Because too many times we'll take people to the word, but we don't realize that we're dealing with a person who doesn't believe in God. So we're going to take them to a book written by a person who they currently don't believe in.
Sure.
Right. So it's kind of like, let me live out these things. So now when you see them, when you see them and then you approach me and you're like, man, how did you do this? How did you stay married? How did you stay faithful during the pandemic? How did you survive losing your job? Now our response isn't going to be, well, you know, brother, it's because I did this, I did that. No, our response is going to have to be, well, let me introduce you to who allowed me to do that.
That's good. That's
yes,
good.
Sir.
And it has to go that way, right? And look, she might hear me because she's on that side of the wall there. But I'll never forget. I met Veronica, who is now my wife. Fun story, right? She was a kindergarten teacher. I was her teacher assistant, and that's how we met. But
back in the
but that's not a part of the topic today, fella. I thought I'd get some sort of sound. There we go. I was expecting that or the applause or something. No, but in the journey of us getting to know each other, one particular day she was going through a bunch of things, and one particular day she literally just told me like, hey, why are you always so happy? Like, life is difficult. Life is hard. Life is a struggle. And I didn't have to preach the word. It was the freedom that I could reflect. It was that joy that I could reflect. And I think that's the best way to show people that God is real by the transformation that has happened in your life.
That's good. And, you know, absolutely. I'm gonna jump in. I think that is part of the ways that the current church has, not done the best job at connecting with this younger generation. And we become Bible thumpers. And of course, there's always a place for the word. We're not saying that, so don't take it the wrong way. But there is a progression to taking people to it. You know, some would call that relational evangelism, whereas you build relationship, you model the faith in front of the person, then you lead them. And you know, there are multiplicity of ways to share your faith. But I think that, man, we have really, the church has done a disservice because, you know, we give rules without a relationship. And those rules without a relationship, it has a tendency to make people hate the rule giver, which is God. And I think that's why, you know, God is not real and, you know, all this that I'm going through and blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, those are good points. I'm piggybacking. Let me give myself a sound for that. That was pretty good.
Real good. Real good. So listen, but that's a good segue into the next tension. How one say there is no hope in the church.
Yeah.
So that bit of fake news. So you mentioned this, how young people are leaving the church, and part of that reason is they feel hopeless. And so can we at least understand why many feel hopeless? I mean, they look on TV and they see, you know, leaders flourishing while their congregations are suffering.
Yeah.
Many faults that we can, you know, clearly see. And if we don't take the time to unlearn some bad habits, if we don't reteach certain things, like we're going to lose young people, and they're going to go to these other, you know, faith-based organizations that you mentioned earlier, and the church is going to become, I don't know, I don't think it'll ever die. It will never die. But but many more will leave if we don't make adjustments. So how do we deal with this tension of there's no hope in the church? And then I'll come back when y'all are done.
Yeah, I think Brown spoke to it for a second. He said that we're not called to be Bible thumpers. We're not called to give people rules and to give laws. That's what God, that's what Jesus came to fulfill, right? He didn't come to get rid of the law. He didn't come to abolish it. He fulfilled it, right? And I think what has happened so much in the church is Galatians 5. Everybody knows Galatians 5:22, right? The fruit of the Spirit, right? Divine love. That's the fruit that we've been given. And I love the way the Passion Translation says that divine love, we've received it in its varied expressions. And what has happened in the church is we've removed, because that particular, it talks about joy and peace and patience and kindness and virtue and faith, but we've removed all those things, and we've replaced them with thou shalt not and thou shalt not. Christianity has become about the do's, and right, Christianity is not about don'ts. Christianity is not about not coming. It's not about not drinking. It's not about not dancing. No, Christianity is about Jesus, but we've made it about other things.
Yeah.
And that's why people don't see hope.
That's good. That's good. Man, y'all hit it. Let me see if I can pivot with the hit. I think people have lost hope in the church, primarily because of the inconsistency of believers' lives. And I think that one of the things I'm discovering that this younger generation is looking for is authenticity. And, you know, they will hear your message as you walk in agreement with the message you're giving. And I think oftentimes, you know, when they see us responding to difficulty the way they would, when they see us making choices that are not in alignment with anything related to the Lord, when they see us, you know, ending relationships, however you want to define that, marriages or whatever, they're like, man, if you got the Lord and you living like that, then why am I going to bother? I can do bad all by myself. You know, there is this quote that I heard way when I was probably y'all's age. It was a quote from this philosopher, and I don't even do this a lot, but hey, it really fits, Nietzsche. And this is what I heard Friedrich. Nietzsche said. Yeah, great philosophy. Nietzsche said, show me your redemption and I'll believe in your redeemer. And essentially he's saying, you show me, you know, a life that's been transformed. You show me this Galatians 5 and 22 life. You show me someone who is living a life abundantly. You show me someone, as Paul says in Philippians, who has joy, and I'll maybe believe it. But what I see y'all is, you know, y'all cussing more than we is. Y'all living more foul than we are. Y'all, you know, y'all's families are more jacked up than mine.
Mm-hmm.
Why bother?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So basically what I gather from what you guys said, and I also have this in my notes, the best way we deal with it is simple. Just be the church.
Just right? Be the church, man.
Simply put, be the church.
Stop complicating things. Stop complicating.
Stop
things.
Complicating. Yeah. And watch this, y'all. Being the church is so simple, as he said, but we oftentimes still miss it. I don't know why we add this unusual pressure. Being the church doesn't mean a place where the perfect reside. Remember, our last podcast, I'm so tired of people talking about, well, I'm not perfect. You don't even need to say that. That is right. So even the church at its worst is still a powerful ministry or organization. But we got to be the simple church filled, the hospital that feels trying to help people to get whole and to be restored and to prepare for the return of our Savior. That's it. Mm-hmm. Everything else is just making it too hard. And that's why people, you know, they can, you know, the fake news of the church has no hope or can't help me or whatever.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we deal with this tension here by simply being the church. So fake news, its overall impact, as we think of its overall impact, social media, families, individuals, where have we seen social media, fake news do the most damage? Where would you say it's done the most damage? Go for it.
He beat me to
it. I beat you. My hand was raised. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give myself an applause for raising my hand first. I think that's important. Thank you. Round of applause. I think fake news has created this extremism, and extremism is dangerous on either side. And yes, I believe that the further you are in the extremes of either direction, you are gravitating towards fake news and error. And the tragedy is, y'all, this extremism is within the church. And that's the part that, you know, the fake news, it has just gotten in people's heads and they just believe, again, all these faith groups that are emerging, especially in the African-American context. And you know, sometimes I can get so frustrated just reading the error that people are believing. But again, people are hungry, they're hurting, they're looking for something, and they're more susceptible to these things. So again, fake news has given just such a rise to extremism. And they have really begun to manifest in a lot of our institutions, academic institutions, faith-based churches, those types of institutions. And they're just kind of pushing people away. I wrote something here I want to try to share. We're buying into undocumented data. And as a result, we are believing lies. And this last thing about social media, I'm going to throw this in, man. the clearest indication that we've kind of all bought into fake news is we actually believe that friends and my count of friends equates to friends.
Yes,
it does not. That is the biggest indication of how social media has sort of usurped and used fake news to our detriment.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Ivan, what you got, brother?
Well, he stole my social media one because that to me was the easiest one, right? The biggest effect has been on social. Has been on social, but I'm gonna go different. We're gonna hit up a different side. I think one of the biggest places where it is hurting is in the churches themselves.
Okay.
I think in the sense of we're seeing more and more just new churches pop up. And it's kind of it's the thing that my wife, every time we're driving down a road, you know, we all pass those roads where it's like, you're like, oh, look, that's a really cool church. And then you're like, oh, there's a church on this side too. Oh, there's a church on that side too. Oh, there's, and then you go like three blocks and you've seen like seven churches. And then my wife will frequently be like, why is there so many churches? Why can't we just be in one church? And to me, the fake news stuff that is in the church. And when I say fake news in this particular aspect, I mean, Christianity has become about, you know, show me that you're Christian by these acts, by these particular things. And now this church is real. I can stay here because of this, but no, now I'm going to leave here because now they've changed. So now I need to go over here because that's fake. And that's not real. And I think because I think you said in one of the definitions of fake news was that it's trying to compete against other things. I think the biggest competition, the biggest detriment to the church is not the devil. It's not all these extracurricular things. It's not the world. It's the church itself. Wow. The biggest detriment to the church are pastors fighting against pastors, leaders fighting against leaders, members fighting against members, this guy. And I'll never forget one day I heard T.D. Jakes say, it was years ago, it was an old school video where he says, in the Bible, you'll never see a demon fighting another demon. You'll never see, you never see that. It's until you get to church and you see church folks doing that. So the biggest fake news has become that I have to be the right church.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think if we go off of the social media platform, which Brown hit perfectly, there's so much fake news in the church that people believe in, and it becomes this arms race in the church itself.
Wow.
That's powerful.
So what about the fake news that we believe about ourselves? Right.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Yeah. So
come on.
We can be so caught up in social media, we can be so caught up in competing, looking at others' platforms, etc., that we begin to believe things about ourselves that are contrary to what God says about us, right? And what that does, it kills us slowly. It minimizes who we are. It minimizes our purpose. And so this goes back to losing hope. Man, we have to get back to being overwhelmed in God's presence, right? Diving into his word, spending intimate time with him and other believers so that we can get back to, like we said, being the church. Because it's difficult to be the church when we don't believe who God says we are.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
And we,
that's great,
we have to get rid of this fake news that we believe about ourselves. Mm-hmm. What we got on that? What's up?
Man, I tell you, I hit the social media in waves. There are some times when I'm too engaged. Then there are some times when I sense I'm getting too engaged and I need to pull back. And oftentimes I get overwhelmed with social media because it's too competitive. And I find myself, you know, trying to compete. And then there's always a temptation to try to make myself look better than I really am. And I think that begins to even be, you know, frustrating and overwhelming. And so this tool that is really used for good it can trip me up sometimes. And I can get caught up, as you told me a long time ago, Pastor Pierce, believing my own highlight reels. You know, you'll see the picture, but you don't see, you know, the drama behind the picture. Yeah. You know, we smiled long enough to get this shot, but, you know, the chaos that was prior to and after, we don't see it. And so sometimes I try to share, though they call those B-roll, film or pictures where everything is not all beautiful. And I think that is my pursuit of authenticity, you know, showing everything ain't good all the time and it won't be. That's unrealistic. And just trying to be transparent, authentic, that kind of social media person. And so, that's my takeaway.
Good.
Yeah, no, for sure. Pierce said a thing with that the way to get into what we're talking about now has been, it's been a struggle for me lately, an even bigger struggle. One of the cool things about being in this, you know, this club of being passionate, it has its positives, it has its negatives. One of the positives, right, is you know a lot of other pastors. And now with social media, you follow their church pages. So it's really good to see what people are doing, and it's good to see that. But along with that thing comes where I've had to kind of push off of some social media because I've gotten lost in the comparison game these last couple months. And I've gotten lost there badly. Mm. I've gotten lost badly in the comparison game where the fake news that I'm currently that I'm fighting through right now for myself is maybe God didn't call you to do this.
Oh.
Or maybe you're not the one that the people who called you out into doing it. Maybe they made a mistake. And I think that's the big thing. I just went through a sermon series that God gave me for the church for sure, but it was for me because I was struggling and living in real freedom because I was stuck in comparison. I was stuck in self-indulgence. And it's like, no, that's how it needs to be. And then I was like, because look, I'm seeing these people and they don't indulge. So let me go to self-discipline because I'm seeing these people succeed and then nothing changes. And I'm like, maybe I just shouldn't be doing it. And it's just, I got stuck in this bad comparison where I had to push off because I was starting to believe what I can faithfully say for myself. I know that's fake news again, that I have felt, but it's real. And it's kind of like the impact has really hurt in that particular aspect.
That's good. That's good transparency, bro.
That's good, brothers. Well, y'all, this was a good one.
Yeah.
This was a good one. And so I just hope that those that are listening will take good note, man, and just, you know, like, share, subscribe to what we have going on. And y'all, let's just keep keeping it real, man. Let's give the people authenticity and let's keep showing them our true selves. Right.
Word.
And let's give them more episodes.
Yes.
We'll be back in a week or two.
We are, sir. Yes,
we're going to set a schedule.
Y'all more heat. We will.
It won't be 2 months. Or was it longer than that?
Man, it's been a minute, bro.
It won't be that again, we promise.
Amen. Well, guys, that's it. Until next time, we'll see y'all later on the Collision Podcast where the church and culture collide. See y'all later.
Love you guys.